Good afternoon, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to our knee-jerk reaction podcast, reacting to the pick of the newest member of the Green Bay Packers. He is a linebacker from Arizona State. His name is Carl Bradford. To break down the Bradford pick, I have joining me on the phone Scott McKenna of the blog Talkin' Smack. Scott, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brian. Good to hear the voice, man.
Good to be talking to you. Now, Carl Bradford, I know you're a fan personally. I mean, if anybody follows me on Twitter, they know I'm a fan. Carl Bradford, just tell me your off-the-cuff impression, Scott, of what you think of this selection.
I'm really excited. I think it's a great value pick for the fourth round here. I think he fits both a 3-4 and a 4-3. Love the way he chases down plays from the backside. He separates well from both tight ends and offensive tackles. Thought he played terrific in the Pac-12 championship game against Stanford, and I think he's going to be a great addition, a hustle player that I thought would be picked in the second round. So really excited to have him added to the team.
Yeah, I thought he could go as early as late round two as well. I'm ecstatic to get him in round four. Now, kind of the thing here, this has been a discussion for, since yesterday with Carl Bradford. Is he an outside linebacker? Is he an inside linebacker? And I just think that, with Bradford here, where does he fit, Scott?
I think he's going to play outside linebacker. I had never considered him as an inside linebacker. But what I will say about him is he's the classic Ted Thompson football player. I imagine that when Thompson stands up and in his conference, later on, that's the way he's going to describe him. You put him on the field and I think he can be equally successful standing up as he can out of a 3 or 4 point stance. So, I hadn't considered him an inside linebacker. I saw, one of the draft experts on TV, I think it was Mayock, considered or thought that he potentially fit as an inside guy. But he's a hustle player. When he hits you, you're generally going to the turf. Where do you see him, Brian?
That the Packers have a need for inside linebackers more than outside. I guess that's why I see him there. I see that he's only 6'1", which is not ideal length if you're going to be on the line of scrimmage. But, I mean, he did it in college, which makes you think, if he did it there, maybe he can do it in the NFL. But he did play on the inside in like third down and long. They would put him on the inside, kind of a roaming type of guy who would blitz once in a while and just kind of cover the middle zone there. So I'm not sure where he is. Does the fact that he's not his speed is 4.76 in the 40-yard dash, does that give you any concern that maybe he's not a good inside linebacker fit, that he can't be a guy who chases down ball carriers?
It's going to be interesting to see whether he can get sideline to sideline if they do choose to move him to the inside. I will say that I know that we've discussed this previously, that one of the things that excites me is that he has been able to chase down ball carriers from the backside. I'm not positive what his coverage skills would be if they did move him to the inside. But he certainly has been able to make a play from if he was down on at a left outside linebacker spot to chase a chase, and the ball was ran to the opposite side of the field. I've seen him make that play before. Maybe what he may lack in 40 times speed, he's going to make up with effort and hustle and willpower. So I'm really excited about the pick. I think it's a great value pick, as I mentioned earlier. And I guess to one thought that I'd love to put out there is I think we've seen from this draft that Ted Thompson hasn't been necessarily drafting the best player available. He's been drafting to fill needs. And, you know, with that said, you know, that may give credence to the thought that, that Bradford is going to be, going to get a look at inside linebacker, if you will.
You know, I've kind of thought that maybe he could be a Desmond Bishop type of guy because he's got the size in that he's got 250 pounds behind him. He can kind of be a thumper, and you would even see Desmond Bishop from time to time rush off the edge like Bradford has done in college. Do you see any similarities there, or does he remind you of anybody else in the NFL?
That's a great name to drop there, Brian. I hadn't considered that. When you say that, I can see some similarities. You know, Bishop had some of the same question marks coming into the NFL. They were concerned about his speed, and you know, I think that can kind of carry over to a little bit to Bradford. I think Bishop had a little more length than Bradford did. Than Bradford does, but yes, they do say play with a similar type of intensity, and they can be interchangeable as far as moving them around on a defense and disguising them, whether they're playing on the right side, the left side, or coming out on a pressure up the gut. We definitely saw Bishop successful linebacker there for the Packers. And frankly, you know, we probably haven't done a great job of replacing him. Maybe that's where Bradford's going to be pegged.
I mean, if you could just maybe project for me a little bit, you know, I mean, where do you think he's going to fit? Is it outside linebacker, where the Packers seem to have a lot of depth, where they have Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers and Nick Perry and Mike Neal and Andy Malumba and Nate Palmer? And that seems to me like they have more of the need at inside linebacker, where you've got Hawk and Jones, and it seems to me that Jones could be replaced. I know you got Lattimore and the kid from South Florida last year, Barrington. I mean, where do you think he fits into that scheme? And I mean, I don't even know with what the Packers are doing anymore. Their new Dom Capers elephant end defense here. I mean, feel free to take this in any direction you want, Scott.
You know, I'm kind of feeling like it really seems as though the Packers might be moving to more of a, I know you mentioned it 2 years ago, almost like a hybrid defense, a blend of a 4-3 with a 3-4. And you see the type of players that they've selected this year. And with Thornton, he definitely seems to me like he's more of a 4-3 guy than a 3-4 guy, one gap player. With that said, you know, I could see Bradford really fitting in as a 4-3 outside linebacker as well. Definitely doesn't play that elephant role that we're hearing about with Julius Peppers, but I'm curious as to what adjustments are going to be taking place on the defensive side of the ball as the players that they've brought in. You know, they don't seem to fit the traditional 3-4 defense, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're talking to Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog here at our Knee Jerk Reaction podcast at Cheesehead TV. Any concern, Scott, for a guy coming from the desert of Arizona State to the frozen tundra of Green Bay? Is there any concern about him adjusting to cold weather?
I hope not, because when you look at the players that the Packers have drafted, they've really attacked, the warmer climates. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix, right? I don't know that the guy's ever seen snow before. you know, they've drafted from Florida State, or Fresno State, I should say, Southern Mississippi from Cal, and now from Arizona State. So, you know, I think when you look at the crop of players that they're bringing into, onto the or that they drafted this year, it definitely doesn't. They aren't sort of the old mutters that from the Midwest. It looks like they're bringing in people who are flashy, who have a swag to them, are used to playing a fast-paced style of football. Whether the players they drafted have really timed great in the 40, that hasn't been the case. But the players that they've definitely brought in have been from warmer climates, who are accustomed to playing a spreaded out, fast-paced tempo of game.
So wherever he fits in, and we can't even figure it out right now where exactly he fits, but you would think, here's a mid-round linebacker. He's probably going to be expected to play special teams at the very least. Wouldn't you say that's probably a safe assumption, Scott? Scott, are you there? Can you hear me?
I just lost you, Brian. I couldn't make out what you asked.
No problem. I was talking about special teams. Do you think he'll probably be one of those special teams players?
Absolutely. He's a player that's going to find the football, and he's the Packers have had a nice tradition of bringing in guys in the linebackers in the middle rounds that have made impacts on special teams. And you could go back to the days of Bernardo Harris, and there's a long line of players that fit in the middle round selections that the Packers have drafted. Bishop is one of them, obviously, as well. That they just find the football, and I certainly believe that Bradford will be a core special teams player, and he's going to make an impact, and he's going to bring an attitude to the field, and a tough-minded nature that. We've discussed before that the Packers needed to change inside the huddle of their defense. And I think he's going to bring some flavor to the field and personality. I think that Packer fans should be really excited to have him as a member of the team.
Before I let you go here, Scott, one last question. I mean, do you think that will be his biggest contribution this year as special teams? Should we expect him as a rookie to be able to make a contribution on defense? What do you think there?
I would say that to start, he will absolutely be a core special teams player. With that being said, we've seen many injuries over at the linebacker position with the Packers over the last couple of years. And I think he's absolutely a plug-and-play player. You look at the impact that we ended up having to see out of Malumba and Palmer last year, and I would fully expect Bradford to be able to come in and make a bigger impact than we saw out of the players that we were plugging and playing last year at the linebacker spot. So I think he brings great depth to the roster. He's going to be a core special teams player to start. He will make an impact there, in my opinion. And I do think that he'll come in and bring some competition to a linebacker spot, and an intensity to the linebacker spot that we may not have right now outside of Clay Matthews. So I think it's all about continuing to evolve the attitude or that aura that you see inside the presence of the locker room, and he'll bring a certain toughness to the team. But I would agree that, a core special teams player is where he fits to start today.
Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. Follow him at BuzzBoy3 on Twitter. Enjoy the rest of the draft, Scott. Maybe I'll call you again. We'll see how things play out.
Terrific stuff, Brian, and always good to hear from you, man.
All right, take care. Scott McKenna joining me here on the Railbird Central special edition of the NFL Draft podcast here, our knee-jerk reaction. What I'm going to try to do, I tried earlier to call Jersey L. Bracco, and I couldn't get a hold of him. He did the outside linebacker profiles for our draft guide, and I'm calling him right now. We'll see if he picks up this time. It's unfortunate I couldn't get a hold of him before. We'll see if Al answers the phone.
Hello.
Hello, Jersey Al. Are you busy? Do you have a moment to talk?
Oh, I'm here. I'm fine now. I just got in a few minutes late after the pick.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm glad to be talking to you. You did the outside linebacker breakdowns, but I mean, it seems to be this big question, Al. Is Carl Bradford an inside linebacker, an outside linebacker? What is your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I just kind of heard a little bit of this inside linebacker talk, and I don't really see it myself. At Arizona State, he played a position that was called the devil backer, which basically is what we've all been talking about this offseason, is the elephant position. You know, he played a rush defensive end, sometimes hand in the dirt, sometimes up as a linebacker, and, you know, a really active position where he was.
I lost Al there. I'm not sure what happened. I'll just try calling him right back. I don't know what happened. Just got kicked off. I want to get into this elephant end discussion, though.
Well, this is Al again.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened, Al, but it could be my bandwidth is getting taken up here. But anyway,
it seems like you got a real echo going on too.
Yeah, I apologize for that. This whole elephant end thing, I think, is really interesting because I mean, yeah, Carl Bradford was a guy who could put his hand in the dirt or stand up, but he definitely doesn't have the length of the elephant ends in Green Bay, like Mike Neal, like Julius Peppers. I mean, how does he fit into that whole schematic?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. He doesn't have the length. His arms aren't that long. He's just barely 6'1", I believe. So, you know, I don't know that I'm saying that he would play the elephant position, but I'm just pointing out that it seems like almost a little too much of a coincidence. You know, he may be a guy that maybe they use in certain situations in that position, you know, or conversely, they could just stick him as an outside linebacker, sitting behind Nick Perry as his backup, and maybe giving Perry a few kicks in the butt to get a little more active on the field. Because one thing Bradford is he's active. You know, he's your classic overachiever, you know, that gets more out of what he has than the other guy who might have more talent. He's a weight room monster too. I mean, he's legendary at ASU for his weight room exploits. So he's a tough kid.
Now, he weighs 250 pounds. Does that play into the fact that you don't think he's an inside linebacker? He ran 4.7 seconds in the 40, all those things. You know, how does that, you know, play into your assessment of his skills and how he translates to the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, that could be a reason, as you said, for why people may be projecting for a move inside. But to me, I think the Packers want to get faster inside. So I'm not sure that that's where they would be looking. I think Bradford is most effective as an edge rusher. You know, I think he can be real good at putting pressure on the quarterback in the right situation. So I don't know if I buy the inside linebacker talk yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think he could play there, but I'm certainly not convinced either. I mean, I suppose it's a just situation where maybe you get him in camp and find out where he fits once he's there.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be tough to find playing time, though, at a position where they've got Matthews, Perry, Neal, Peppers, and Malumba, and Palmer, all those guys?
Yeah, it's certainly not going to be easy for him to find some playing time. He will be a special teams demon, without a doubt. He will be on pretty much every special team on the Packers because he's that type of active guy. So he'll definitely find spots there his first year. You know, I'm hoping that he, you know, gives a little bit of competition to Nick Perry and kind of makes Nick Perry look over his shoulder a little bit and maybe pick up his step, you know. But that's the most I'm going to hope from Bradford in year one. Special teams and give Nick Perry just a little bit to worry about.
Okay, so Carl Bradford, I agree, where he's been most productive in college has been on the edge as a rusher. But at 6'1", the Packers have never really had their outside linebackers be that short before. Does this play into the whole thinking that there is kind of a schematic change taking place, that and what change might that be?
Well, as you probably know, I've been kind of hinting at this for weeks. It seems like a lot of the offseason moves are moves that are setting them up to be able to play a lot more 4-3. You know, you look at Guyon, you look at Peppers, you look at some of the people I was told that the Packers are interested in, such as Scott Crichton. I mean, these are all 4-3 guys predominantly. Now, yes, we're all talking about the elephant position and some type of hybrid defense, but I just have a sneaking suspicion that you're going to see a decent amount of 4-3 thrown in during the season. And it could be within a game, or it could be a complete game plan for a particular opponent where they say, you know what, we think a 4-3 works better against this team. They're not going to be expecting it. We're just going to come out and play predominantly 4-3 this game. I think anything is possible this season. I think that Capers is kind of knows that the defense has really got to produce this year. You know, I mean, what the offense was forced to do last year, despite not having Rodgers, to get them where they got, I think the defense really has to step up this year. I think the coaches know it. I think the players know it. And to that end, Capers, I think, is going to really pull out the bag of tricks.
Yeah, you know, I kind of pride myself a little bit about knowing the Packers kind of well, but I have no pulse on what they have planned here on defense this year. I mean, what kind of challenges does it present in that being both maybe a 3-4 team and a 4-3 team? I mean, is that tough from a coaching standpoint where, you know, you could game plan one way for one game and then another? I mean, it seems complicated to me.
Well, I think that's an understatement, yeah. Of course, it's complicated. It's not something that Capers hasn't done before in his career. You know, early in his career, he had 4-3 teams and mixed in 3-4, the way I'm talking about mixing in 4-3 right now. So it's something he's done before in the reverse mode. So it's really up to the players if they can grasp the concepts and be able to handle it.
Do you think it's any case of where it's simply, you know, it's the same old 3-4, just within the nickel and dime packages, Julius Peppers rushing from a 3-point stance? Is there any chance that's the only significant change, or is there wholesale changes?
Brian, I'm sorry you were breaking up there, so I didn't get all of that question.
I'm not even sure I can repeat it. I'm kind of rambling here, but I mean, you know, I can see, you know, the Packers have been running this 3-4 for years, but, you know, it's basically a 4-2 front when they go to their nickel and dime, or you know, 4-1 in their nickel and dime. I mean, is the only change we're going to see is Julius Peppers in a 3-point stance? I mean, is that maybe the only significant change, or are we seeing whole? I mean, you obviously think there it's going to be a little more nuanced than that.
That's a good question, Brian. I mean, this is pure speculation, but I think it's going to be a little bit more than that. You know, I think you might be seeing Nick Perry getting some time as a defensive end in a 4-3, because frankly, he just hasn't exactly lit up the field as an outside linebacker now, has he? So I think it's more than just Peppers. I think some of the other guys that they're looking at and that they're bringing in, whether they're considering, are all along those lines. So pure speculation, but I'm thinking that you're going to see a little bit more than that.
Very cool. Well, Al, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on our podcast. I'm hoping maybe I'll get the chance to talk to you again if the Packers take a tackle I don't. Yep. Sometimes though, it's tough to say who these guys actually are. They could be a tackle in college and an interior guy in the pros. So I don't know if I'll call you or Pigskin Paul, but regardless, right. I appreciate your insight.
Okay, Brian. Nice talking to you as always.
Okay, take care. Jersey Al Bracco all right. of allgreenbaypackers.com joining us here on the show. Follow him on Twitter at JerseyAlGBP to get some insight on the pack. I leave you today like I do every podcast here with the official NFL.com analysis from Nolan Naraki on Carl Bradford. Here's his strengths. Quote, plays with urgency and beelines to the ball. Explosive, can power clean 400 pounds and hits on the rise with power. Is effective stunting and looping. Flashes playmaking ability. Explosive tackler, can play on his feet off the ball and times up the blitz well. Good hands, athletic enough to fold back into coverage. Solid instincts to diagnose. Sniffs out screens and has a feel for locating the ball quickly. His weaknesses: has a short, compact frame with average arm length and gets hung on blocks. Gets locked down by big-bodied blockers when they get their hands on him. Spins in place and lacks a variety of pass rush moves. Cannot convert speed to power. Needs to improve his hand use. Bottom line, an undersized college defensive end. Bradford projects to outside linebacker in a 3-4 front in the pros, where his physical dimensions and rush ability are best suited. Would profile best in an aggressive one-gapping odd front. There you go. Don't really know how Carl Bradford's going to be used. His experience is all mostly at outside linebacker. I think he could play inside linebacker. I'm not 100% sold to that. Heck, if he can, you know, rush off the edge, I'm all for it. I'm just glad the Packers got a guy who plays like the Tasmanian devil. You know, that's what I like about him. He rushes, you know, like Jersey Al said, he's an overachiever, but that's a good thing. We need more guys who play with that Clay Matthews kind of intensity, and he's got that. Kyrie Thornton, too. Good intensity guys. I remember Bob McGinn, didn't he write a whole column about that in the last year or two about guys who, you know, don't give it their all every snap? The guys they're got on defense, they give it their all. So that's a good thing here. That's a good parting thought for this podcast. Must be the end of the fourth round by now. Hopefully I'll be coming back to you shortly with another edition of our Knee Jerk Reaction podcast in a little while. Until then, we'll see you later, folks. And I'll leave you today with a song called Rosie by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya.